saving money on your next painting project. Now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for hour number two of The Usual Suspects. You guys already know this dialogue. It's coming back up again because Nick did it to me again. As much as I can be all, hey, can't wait to have the guys back and be, hey, this is getting the band back together. And what does Nick do? Craps all over the picture again, waits to take a shot. Today it looks like, in today's Caption This Usual Suspects show promotion tweet, you can look at Barry telling me my dog just got hit by a car. He has the serious look of the medical examiner say it doesn't look good, and have me looking like, wait, what? And Nick thought, that's a good picture.
It's never intentional, first of all.
No,
it totally is.
Every day. It's never intentional.
Yeah, you do it on purpose.
I'm literally screenshotting the live screen on Twitch.
Oh, there's a live scream that happens.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing. It just happens that you're looking like that at Barry. Right when I
you know if it, you know how I could tell it wasn't intentional? If it wasn't intentional, you'd go, okay, guys, I'm gonna get a screenshot here in about 3, 2, 1. I'd be like, hey, but no, you just wait for the, you probably take about 60 and
you
go, you know what? What's
the
one where Joel
photo?
Looks constipated and sad? Let's go with that.
Well, I wait for the goggles to be removed, and in that particular segment, you have them on.
At least he lets you take the.
Don't stick up for him, okay? Because you're gonna start making me change my entire church going ways.
Going forward, never a bad screenshot. You're going to look perfect. You're going to look like a 10 the next time I tweet out a picture of you and Barry.
We'll see about that. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I don't think that's...
You must be absolutely...
Photoshop somebody else's
face? Yeah, I was going to say, you must be well-versed in Photoshop.
I'll just use the Snapchat filters, the pretty filters that all the girls use.
So, okay,
oh, yeah,
so...
Holly tweets a lot.
See, put the little dog ears and the whiskers on him. That would be good.
I'm going to start doing those little mini videos where I just kind of put one hand over my head in my car.
Show us your thigh tat.
Just be like, hey, what's up?
Show us your thigh tat. You could do that. No. That always gets a lot of likes.
Yeah, no.
No? All right, so apparently I hurt this guy's feelings on the text line.
Well, you're back then. Shocker. You're officially back. Way
when
to go.
When I told him his little cheese puns were stupid... He texts the show again and says, I don't know what CAWD stands for.
Let's Google that.
Oh, no. I think I know what it stands for.
God.
No, it says CAW. I know what it stands for now. Corny ass white dudes. CAWD goes for both of you corny ass white dudes. So let's just put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that.
All
okay.
Right. All right. No change.
So whoever this texter is, I don't know if he's black, white, Hispanic, Asian. Don't know. But he said that we, Joel and I, are corny-ass white dudes. Now, put the pin in that, because let me read you the text that this guy sent, the guy that's calling us corny. Okay. Here's his text verbatim. I know my Lions are dumpster juice, but damn Mr. Cheese Whiz, your boys got turned into that powdered cheese that's in the cheap-ass mac and cheese, not even good enough to be Velveeta. And we're the corny-ass white dudes. And that's the text you sent?
You put so much energy and thought into that tweet that could have been redirected to doing something
constructive. Well, that's why I didn't read it, because that was terrible. Like, you're talking about powdered cheese and Velveeta because it's the Packers. How corny could you... You couldn't be any cornier than that.
While using the word cheese multiple times, Jesus. Which is the whole reason why you don't... you're looking for names of cheese?
I really hope that was a white guy calling us corny-ass white dudes, too. Because that would be the best part of the whole thing. Well, get out of here.
It's not going to be the last mean text we get of the show. Say that right now.
No, it won't be at all. It won't be the last mean text we get in this segment.
Probably true.
Somebody wants to know.
Holly just responded. Did she? Do you Holly think... said car selfies and thigh tats are the best, y'all. All right. Let's not even mention the filters.
We love you, Holly.
Yep.
Somebody wants to know, is Tom Herman going to get fired this year?
Nope. I don't think this year, but I think no that too, seat's toasty.
It's getting real warm.
What I mentioned was the fact that, all right, we chalk up the first year to him, like beginning the, you know, him getting his getting feet his wet own, and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Right.
Then he makes some progress, and I think he wins, I don't know, was it 10 games? And then he regresses this season, and someone asked us on the, or I guess Aggie Joe called in to the Palillo show and said, look, you know, it's supposed to be 5 years after that fourth year, you know, if he's still doing bad. But I tend to think it might be sped up for Tom Herman in the event that this regression continues, because going up and then going back down is so discouraging.
Well, a lot of it is who you lose to and how, right?
Sure.
Like, you can lose to LSU and Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
And be okay as long as you keep recruiting. As long as you keep recruiting and you continue to get better. But you can fade that in a season, right? You can fade even if you did lose to Baylor, who happens to be a pretty good football team this year. But you got a loss to ISU and TCU on the schedule. That you can't fade that for too long. You can't keep doing that at Texas and expect to survive. You lose to Oklahoma because they're a perennial top five team, you're going to get a pass.
Sure.
Same thing with a team from the SEC like LSU. But the rest of these losses just don't look good.
But, and Nick, and I was listening to you guys on the way in, it was great discussion, and the fact that what compounds this is the fact that Rule at Baylor is kicking ass. And there's no way in the state of Texas, if you're a five-star recruit, that when you had, for years upon years in the past, if you had a choice between Baylor and Texas, you were going to UT.
Oh, of course.
And you knew you were going there because that is the highway to going to the NFL.
Absolutely.
And now you look at it and go, well, there's a lot of kids that are going to reconsider that. And the fact that the school that he left, who are all laughing and enjoying every bit of this at U of H, they were the ones that felt like completely crapped on and left at the doorstep. And now at least they have at least some hope of saying, now that Dana's here and Dana's a big name and Dana's just getting that 1 year grace period out of the way, and when he starts getting his players in here, that they almost feel like they're better off. Now, you don't fault Herman for the fact that he got all the money that a coach has to take when you get there, but part of it comes with expectations. And if you don't live up to those expectations and you have the facilities and everything that Texas has, including that reputation, you could be in trouble in a hurry.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to win recruiting classes, but I'm going to tell you something right now, and you can ask guys like Lance Zierlein and people that are heavy into that type of recruiting and stuff. Those ratings and those five-star, four-star, three-star, and who wins a recruiting class, a lot of that can be manipulated. A lot of that is inaccurate. It's not an exact science, right? And so you might be winning recruiting classes or being in the perennial – being a top 10 perennial recruiter every year. Mm-hmm. But trust me, the Aggies do well when they recruit. But then the problem is it doesn't translate on the field. So some of that is coaching, and some of that is maybe you're not getting the recruits. Maybe they're not as good as you think you are. And you can't sustain that at a program like Texas. If you're Baylor or if you're Texas Tech or a team like that, and that, yeah, you can fade that, but not at a program like UT. I don't know if he does this next year, he's gone.
Oh, for sure. I don't think he's done this year, but I definitely think his seat is red hot going into next season. And if you don't see some pretty big improvements across the board with who they lose to if they lose, and where they sit in terms of not just the conference now, that's a national powerhouse. That's supposed to be a team. That's like the only thing that you have going for you is you're not UCLA, because
mm-hmm.
you went and hired Chip Kelly and you've absolutely crapped the bed. But Tom Herman is right behind him in terms of a guy with all the hype, with the resume, with the I want to be there. That is the school that I want to coach. And the thing that's also amazing to me when you bring up both schools, A&M and Texas, you need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if all the five stars you get, whether it's DBU or the linemen you get, the linebackers, the skill position players you get, college football is very similar to the pros, Texans fans. And you know, because you've been through the hardship, you have to have a quarterback. Because you look at it across the board, and the teams that are in it have at least one. And you look at Alabama, who's turning to their second four or five-star mm-hmm. quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teams like the fact that Jalen Hurts leaves one program where he was a five-star. and joins another one where, oh, by the way, they've won the last two Heismans at quarterback. So you got to get quarterback play. And you can't just say, well, this guy fits my system. You need a five-star quarterback that can play. Both guys, Jimbo's on the hot seat for that too because he's stuck with Kellen Mond. But he's got to find someone that comes in after him that's better.
Well, the problem is early in the season, Ellinger looked great. I mean, that
talked to Greg game after the bowl game too.
Well, when he played LSU, I mean, he held up against LSU.
Absolutely right.
Ellinger had an absolutely
can't
amazing
take it
game.
Away. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but then, you know, you have to be able to sustain that. And you know, what he threw for 200 yards against Baylor? That ain't going to get
it done.
And I
know Baylor's defense is good.
Great, but you still, but it's UT. You know, if this is Texas Tech, no, sorry, Tech fans.
Iowa State.
But this is UT. You expect UT, if you can put up 400 yards against LSU, you should certainly be able to do better than 200 yards, averaging 5.4 yards per completion against Baylor. You've got to be better than that. So, yeah, early on he looked great. Because, man, that LSU game, it was like, whoo, boy, both of these teams look like they got themselves a quarterback. They're going to be difficult to deal with all year. And then he's regressed. And on the other side of it, what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
Who are you talking about?
Burrow.
Burrow hasn't regressed.
But that's the difference. They were side by side. Both of them looked amazing in that game. You thought, uh-oh. This could be, you know, both of these guys could be in New York at the end of the year, and Ellinger went the opposite direction. And it
but
just
there's another
bad.
Program when you want to be, and I believe me, UT fans, and you can go up and down in any neighborhood you go to in this state that's got UT alums, they believe they should be in the same breath as Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, all those different schools. But you look at it and you hear what you just said, and you go, but they can't.
Mm-mm.
Because they don't. Because you look at Joe Burrow. Look at Ohio State. I just mentioned two other schools that have five stars. Fields transferred. He starts for Ohio State, and he's a five-star, and he picks up right where Haskins left off.
Yeah.
And the list of quarterbacks at Ohio State is long in the last mm-hmm. several years. Mm-hmm. Texas and A&M, you can recruit every other position on the field, but if you don't start recruiting and landing five-star quarterbacks...
But they've got to live up. Kellen Mond was a
true
big recruit.
But you also have to have more than one, so you can go, you know, if that one doesn't work out, we'll go to this one.
Fair enough, but Texas A&M at one point did have... They had Kyle Allen.
But that was Sumlin's knock, right?
Exactly.
He got five of them, and four of them left within a couple weeks.
But my point is they were still able to recruit them. And so you get a Kellen Mond. You expect him to be a high recruit. I have to go back and look. But I guarantee you Kellen Mond was very highly rated in
recruiting. He went to the IMG Academy in Florida, and he was very, very sought after at that point. But my point is you got to get more than one because – you know, grandest plans can be completely kiboshed at some point when they just don't pan out and they don't have a certain it factor you need. You have more than one. Look at Alabama. I mean, look, Tua goes out. They don't miss a beat. Now, they may, and it also may be too little too late, but we all know that their second string could be a top 10 team, top 15 team in the nation in a lot of ways. So that's why I get back to what you said about when A&M had all those recruits. That was the biggest knock on Sumlin. You can recruit your ass off, but can you keep them and can they play?
Yeah.
Can you get them to play and maximize them?
So Kellen Mond was borderline five-star prospect. He was a four-star recruit, and according to 24/7 Sports, which I just Googled it,
yeah.
he was a 94, he was a .94 rating, which a .98 means you're a five-star prospect. So he was right there on the cusp. But he just hasn't proven to be able to handle it. I mean, sometimes you get a guy that you think is going to be a good quarterback, and they just don't produce. And this is what I said. This goes back to you can win these recruiting classes, but if it doesn't translate on the field, it doesn't matter. And that seems like that's what's happening to Tom Herman.
There you go.
And Texas.
All right, little college football worked into the usual suspects on a Monday fun day. So lots more to get to. Please join us if you get a chance. And you can also call, text, and or tweet as we continue to roll through the show. Lots more on our agenda. If you got something on yours, like I said, reach out and touch. Not somebody's hand because Barry would then have to wash his. So we're not going to do that. So fist bump us and get back to us. So hour number two continues on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go as we plow through hour number two of the three-hour show. It is Nick, Barry, and Joel, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we've covered the gamut, we've covered some college, we've covered some pro, we've covered some Rockets, we've covered a lot of college football, a lot of different things. So I guess because it's an equal opportunity suspect, Jose wants to get in here real quick, I believe, on one of the conversations we had earlier about the Rockets. Jose, what's up?
Hey, what's up, brother? Hey, just got a quick question, man. You know, a big Rockets fan, but I kind of been wondering what happened to Jonathan Simmons. You know, I know he's only 30 years old, but it seems like he just fell off the face of the earth. I don't know if you guys have some kind of inside information. I don't know if this guy's got character issues or something. I just, I remember when he was with the Spurs, you know, he was a very good defender. I think I want to say mid 30-35% three-point shooter. I just, you know, from last I saw, you know, with Orlando, he was averaging like 14 and a half and like 7 rebounds. And now, from what I'm hearing, he's out of the league. I don't know if you guys knew anything about that.
No, and Nick was looking it up. But look, here's the thing. First of all, if you ever want to see him, you can see him at Fondy in the summer because he plays down there a ton. And here's the first thing that you can say, and you're not mad at him for it. He got paid. He had a great year with the Spurs. He entered free agency, got a massive deal for him and a guy that, you know, with his resume coming in, he got a really, really big financial deal to go to Orlando. And things just haven't worked out in terms of his ability to fit into a system and to consistently knock down shots and do some of the things you were saying. And so, therefore, he's become a journeyman because that's the other piece of the puzzle you got to factor in. His price tag is so high. Unless you're willing to give up one of your really good core players that you can't afford to give up, you're not going to get him. And what you get when you get him is not going to be what you're expecting or what you need from this team.
Yeah, his numbers, I just pulled up his basketball reference.
I mean, the only person, when I Googled his name, it was just a random blog. It was the only publication that even threw his name out there. So I don't know if that's even being pursued or if it would even be a good fit.
But do you want a guy whose career numbers are 8.3 points a game, 2.4 total rebounds a game, 1.9 assists, 0.6 steals? I mean, none of that is sexy.
Doesn't get me excited.
No.
Because the Rockets already have guys like that at the
Gerald
end of their
Green.
Bench.
Well, you had Gerald Green. That's who Gerald Green is. That's who at his best Daniel House probably is. That's who, you go up and down the list and you go, there's plenty of those type players. If you're going to, especially if you're going to give up an Eric Gordon, but even if you're not,
right,
you need someone that's going to give you more. And maybe it's just a specified talent. Maybe it is just a guy that can defend the hell out of the basketball, make a couple shots, finish on the break. Not going to give you too much. Points wise is your least concern. I don't care what he's averaging points per game, but defensive rating, rebounding, steals, you know, block shots, things like that. Things that can help you get better where you have a glaring weakness is what they should be attacking.
Here's one thing you shouldn't do if you're a general manager is that's true too.
Okay.
Nice.
But if you're trying to get too cute with, you know, you're trying to be that guy that finds someone that nobody is talking about, that's on nobody's radar, just so you can be the guy to say, look, I'm the one who found them and I'm the one who put them on this team. There's a bunch of players you can do that are in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
That are probably not being talked about and probably could really shine on one of these NBA teams. So.
And here's the thing too, Nick. As much as you look like a hero that first year, i.e. Daniel House, at the end of the year when the player and his agent realize, hey, I'm pretty good and other teams are going to want me too. Now to continue to be a hero as a general manager, you're going to have to overpay to keep him as opposed to having that little secret do you a favor and come in on a non-guaranteed contract and do the things you need so you can go get bigger fish. And that's what's happened.
So, I don't know. I mean, there's a ton of, you know, you can look at 2020 free agents because that's probably what you're going to have to do.
But you had that money, Barry. Where's it coming
from? Well, but that's why I'm saying. I know you just extended Eric Gordon, but I forgot about that when you mentioned it at the break.
So, you've got Gordon's massive deal, Capella, and then your two biggies.
Yeah. I mean,
because remember now, Harden's goes through the roof.
Oh, sure.
With the new extension he signed.
Yeah.
So Harden's is going to go through the roof. Westbrook's already making massive amounts.
But there might be a team out there that has a guy that's looking to, you know, that they're on the cusp, right? Like that they maybe are a piece or two away, but they have a guy that's going to be a free agent that maybe they don't think is going to stick around that you can move an Eric Gordon to or a Clint Capella, and they feel like an example is like, and I'm not suggesting because I would have to look at who they have, but the Pelicans, right? They've got Zion. If you added a Clint Capella, you're starting to build a young nucleus. Maybe they have a veteran free agent at the end
of
the
year.
See,
but they don't want Clint anymore because they drafted a young kid from Texas.
No, but I'm saying like that kind of team, they have a veteran free agent at the end of the year where they're building something, and adding a guy like an Eric Gordon might be a key piece, or a Clint Capella might be a key piece that you could move.
Because you just extended it, it was hypothetical that you brought it up, because one of the people tweeted and said, look, you can't trade him until after like December the 15th. That's fine. They're not doing anything until then anyway. That's irrelevant. The question was, would you trade him? The other thing would be then you have to find a trade partner. New Orleans is different now because they're trying to completely rebuild.
Right.
How about Minnesota? How about Gerson Rosas, who used to work for Daryl Morey? How about a guy who knows this roster well and knows what they can do for him?
Yeah.
So how about if you're going to trade Eric Gordon, how about you trade him there with a Wiggins in mind and go, you know what? Now I'm adding an athletic wing. Yeah, everybody thought he got too much money and doesn't live up to the billing. But to play third fiddle and not having to answer all the questions as one of the go-to guys with Carl Anthony Towns, but be able to play his game, play the wing, be athletic, help out. Now you're talking in my mind.
Yeah.
Because Gerson, I don't think, is very high on Wiggins' contract. Take Gordon for less years, a little less money, throw in a couple, a piece to sweeten the pot.
I'll tell you who it would never happen, but there's a name that I'm looking at a list on Hoops Rumors. They've got the top 2020 free agents, right? You got Anthony Davis, Brandon Ingram, Andre Drummond, DeMar DeRozan, and Gordon Hayward. That's their top five. Would you scroll on down to number 11? And the perfect guy for this team
is
a guy that used to be here. Montrezl Harrell at number 11. A guy like that that can come in and basically give you hustle and defense.
Sure, but here's the thing.
And makes you better.
Accelerates another conversation, Barry, because my rebuttal to that is, you're absolutely right, who's your head coach? Because if it's Mike D'Antoni, he ain't coming.
But my point is guys like that, right? Like Serge Ibaka at 12 is a free agent. You know he's going to play some defense, though. But I don't want to score. That's why Montrezl Harrell would make sense.
Serge Ibaka's way on the downside now from where he was. So if he wants to come on a bargain deal, great. But the Harrell thing is what I'm talking about is now if you're Tillman and you're the ownership, crap or get off the pot. You're either going to sign D'Antoni long-term and then Harrell's not a consideration, or you're going to move on, get your new coach announced before free agency happens, and say, Montrez, we'd love to have you back. We drafted you. We made a mistake letting you go.
Yeah.
You would help us.
Exactly. But those are the kind of guys adding it to this roster if you could move, you know. And you think about, I mean, the Clippers would love, I'm sure they feel like they're closer. You added an Eric Gordon to the Clippers, a dead-eye three-point shooter. Because the Clippers don't have any big guys,
that's why I don't think they're ever going to let go of Montrezl Harrell unless he completely gets an offer he can't refuse.
Because they got a bunch of Eric Gordons on the Clippers.
Yeah, they do. Because Lou Williams, you talk about the last two guys for six man of the year.
That's true.
Yeah, Lou Williams is going to fill it up. And then last year, it was Harrell and Lou Williams, and you got both those guys on your bench. You're in great shape. I mean, I don't think they're going to get rid of him, and I think your first point was where we're at. They can't afford to go dipping in free agency and come up with money. That's going to have to be creative trade.
Yeah.
To make something, make this team better from what they have
Derek now. Gordon makes, literally, I think $10 million less than an Andrew Wiggins, because Wiggins got a big contract.
But before it went up a notch. So that's why I said you might have to sweeten it with another piece or two, but still – you know, you could probably do exactly what we're talking about in terms of get better with athleticism, defense. He can still make a three or two, but I think he could help you out where you have your weaknesses as opposed to just adding more scoring or making sure guys score points. So we'll continue to move on. That was just a basketball call we had to get through.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, when we get back, I pulled up the recruiting classes for Tom Herman since he's been here. I think you'll be surprised.
And then the other thing is to look at is what's he got coming in.
We can talk about the rankings because that's what we were talking about. Yep. And I pulled it up at the last break. And since we got a little bit off track with the Rockets, we'll circle back to that because a little surprising.
Okay. There you go. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you, if you're looking for a new energy provider or you've just been paying too much and you know your contract's about to expire or your contract had already expired, no one told you what the company you were with, and you've been paying huge increases, I got a company for you. It's Infuse Energy. It's locally owned and operated by Josh Pestikoff and his staff. They're fantastic. They take care of their customers so much so, 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. You need that and want that, you got that with Infuse. They take care of you in more ways than one. They're going to be honest with you like a good friend, not just some business associate that's trying to screw you over every chance they get. They're going to be up front. If there's another business out there that can beat their prices and their rates, they're going to tell you, because you might not go with them this time, but you'll go with them somewhere down the line, because they take care of their customers with honesty. And that's why I switched 3 years ago. I saved thousands off my previous energy provider over the first couple of years, so I renewed. And why wouldn't I? Because I get weekly statements of when I use energy the most, when I use it the least, where I can kind of make some changes to try and make sure that I get even better prices. Those are the kind of things that I really like, and I like the way they're up front. And you can check them out. I've had several listeners, P. Randizzle, a friend of mine, Gene, came to me and said, what was that energy company? They hooked up with Infuse. P. Randizzle actually sent me a tweet about a week or so ago. Could not be happier. You could do the same. So check them out. All you got to do is log on to InfuseEnergy.com. But better yet, give them a call. 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. Right off the bat on the phone, mention ESPN 97.5. $25 bill credit on your first bill. And they'll go from there. Simply put, 100% green energy at your fingertips and affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show. You know how we do it here on The Suspects. You guys do your part and listen. We do our part by entertaining you and keeping you going on your business day. Or, because it's Thanksgiving week, on your vacation week. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
So, getting to a lot of stuff in the first half of the show. And plenty more to get to as we go forward. Barry, you were talking about the fact, because we had gotten into some discussions about Tom Herman, about the recruiting and the fact that, you know, I keep saying, look, they can't get a quarterback at either A&M or Texas that's a five-star that can actually play like one.
Well, we were talking about recruiting classes and how good and bad they are, and what does that how does that translate?
Right, and hot seats for coaches and all that.
So Herman went to Texas in 2017. Their recruiting class that year, they ranked 33rd in the nation in their recruiting class, all right? 2017, their rank was 33rd. 2018, Texas had the third highest ranked recruiting class in all of college football, only behind Georgia and Ohio State. Wow. They out-recruited Alabama. They out-recruited Clemson in 2018, okay? They also had 27 recruits, which that was the like most of anybody in the top 20. The Notre Dame and UCLA had 27 recruits. So they're not only because sometimes you get a lot of recruits, but they're not five star, four stars. So it kind of skews the number a little bit. 2019, UT's recruiting class, number five in the nation. So you go from 33 to 3 and 5. And already this year, the 2020 recruiting class, Texas is sixth. And what that means is, one, it's like what I told you. Sometimes it doesn't translate. Sometimes this is just, you know, we've seen stories of where recruits, you know, rankings have been skewed.
It's like a Rick Smith draft class. They can be ranked at a certain...
But no, but you'll see where guys, these numbers and these grades are skewed. They can be bought sometimes. That's some of the rumors. You can pay to get your grade up.
More so even when you go from the college to the pros. Sure. There was a story about Mel Kiper Jr. on The Take. But yeah, you're probably right.
This is a very flawed system, okay? And there are guys that have no business ranking and grading doing it. And there are times when guys want their kids to go to a nice school, so they try to get their grades bumped up a little bit, recruiting grades, I should say, not actual high school grades or anything. But although I'm sure that happens.
Yeah,
I'm sure that happens.
Yep.
But you've got the 3, 5, and 6, you know, top recruiting classes, and it's not translating. And again, it goes back to sometimes it's on the players, and sometimes it's on the coach. And yeah. if you're going into kids' living rooms and getting them, are you going to the wrong living rooms? I mean, if you're ranked third,
I think every coach has done that. Every coach has gone into the wrong living room. I don't see how you can't. I mean, that's the whole point of footage, like in
sure.
gathering but, all those highlights when you're trying to sell yourself to a program.
But here's the other thing, Nick and Barry. Mm-hmm. When you look at all that, right, there's also, just like you're saying, where the kids and their dads and whatever are making sure that they get a certain rating and that when they sign with a university, that those rate, you know, the university comes right out and says, we got this many five stars. But at the same time, on the flip side, the coaching staff and all of their recruitment department are trying to send out press releases to say, we got all these five stars, whether they were or not, to your point. But here's the thing. It adds added pressure onto the coaching staff. Because now, for all the accolades of, way to go, guys. You got the top another top five recruiting class. Now they got to play.
Well, and the same is true at A&M with Jimbo Fisher. I mean,
where are they for next year?
So when in 2017, he got to A&M in 2018. 2017, A&M had the 11th ranked recruiting class. 2018, the year he got here or got there, they were 16.
Okay.
So you really look at.
You anticipate they should go down the first year because there's a lot of things
turnover
up in the
and
air.
And, so, yeah. So 2019, A&M has the third highest rated recruiting class for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020, he has them at 10. So A&M is a perennial top 10, but that doesn't translate. They're never a perennial top 10 team.
But you also, because you're saying his first recruiting class are all freshmen this year, a lot of those guys redshirt, a lot of those guys you're not going to see and reap the benefits of that for, you know, 2 years, 2 years, 3 years in.
Well,
so now you got to start stacking them. Because obviously with this contract, he's not going anywhere.
No, that deal, he's not going anywhere. But to your point, let's see what his quarterbacks do.
Yes.
Right? Because that was the thing is you looked at when he was at FSU. Well, you had Winston and he did all those things. And well, let's see what his quarterbacks do in his system. Because Kellen Mond was not recruited for Jimbo Fisher or Jimbo Fisher's system.
No, he was already here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So now Jimbo's got to go get his guy.
Right.
That's part of what he was challenged to do when he took the job. Go get your guys. And bring them in so that we become better. So the jury's still out on Jimbo, and he's got obviously that contract, but he also has a little bit of a grace period. With Herman, as you mentioned, look, and Ellinger and everybody's joking about it and playing the soundbite, we're back. Okay, probably misspoke, but at the same time, they were feeling pretty good after that bowl victory, right?
Yeah.
And they, you know, they got somewhere. But then be careful what you wish for because the pressure is you have to build on that. You can't regress. You have to continue to impress. You have to continue to keep getting better, and they haven't.
It's never ending. I mean, but man, it's just crazy.
If the Big 12 is down and you don't win the Big 12,
yeah,
that's
awful. I mean, no, Oklahoma's not down.
I know. Well, I get it. So it should be Texas. You know, you should be talking all year about Texas and Oklahoma, not Oklahoma and Baylor. Not, you know, and when Dana was there, West Virginia was in that conversation. But it shouldn't be better than Texas.
Yeah, I wonder where Baylor is every year in recruiting. Let's see, 2018, they were 24th.
But I bet you because of Matt Rule's name and because of what they've been doing this year, I bet you they bumped that up.
2019, Baylor is 34th.
Wow.
2020.
Okay, but that also, Barry, talks to our point of...
Baylor is not in the top 25.
That also goes back to our point earlier today when we talked about as good as Baylor can be and as big as their name can be, as a recruit, they're not going to out-recruit Texas. No. Texas A&M.
Which is why
in
you
this
have
state.
To, yeah, period.
Oklahoma's going to come into Texas and get more Texas athletes than Baylor.
Baylor is not even in the top 40 for the 2020 recruiting class.
That's a shame based on what kind of program facilities and what they're doing, right?
But if you're a recruit, you look at that thing, he ain't going to be there next year. He's going to get
I think
to
that's
get
the biggest drawback is, look, you can sign them to extension after extension. They get out of those. I mean, and look at it. We talked about Fleck in Minnesota and the fact that he's going to be so sought after by so many schools. You're either going to have to overpay and continue to overpay to keep him, and he just has to be one of those loyal guys that stays, or the lights are going to be too bright, the opportunity's too great, and I did my part, right? I dug you out from the depths of the dead as a program, and now if an NFL team comes calling or Florida State, USC, some of these big-time programs that are trying to do what A&M and Texas are trying to do, why wouldn't you go get that guy?
Right. And that might be why their recruiting class this year isn't as good.
There's so much uncertainty, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to go to a program where you sign your life away. And again, now the NCAA has loosened up a little bit to allow guys to be able to transfer out and without having to sit out. But while that rule was as staunch as it was, You make a commitment, you damn well better make sure the coach has made the same commitment because, as we've said for years and years, it's so unfair. A kid signs, he's got to be there for 4 years or he's got to sit out one to go somewhere else and he loses eligibility. A coach can be there in the morning and gone by nighttime with no punishment.
Yeah. What's his name? JD on Twitter said A&M only has like five seniors this season. They won't be good until next season. No.
Where's Dana? Because Dana's now in a tough deal too because of the fact that he's still trying to get his first class together after everybody, you know, knew that it was some uncertainty with Major Applewhite leaving and things like that. And now there's a bunch of pressure on Dana because next year, whether De'Aaron King comes back or not, they're assuming that they're going to have to be much better.
You talking about class rankings?
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know.
So we can look that up, but that's interesting because obviously Coug fans are celebrating the fact that...
You're talking about for 2020,
Tom,
right?
Yeah. Tom Herman has absolutely crapped a bed, so...
No, he's not. U of H isn't even top 40.
That's not good.
No, not for 2020.
All right. Well, there's some more college football as we continue to talk about things like that and some Rockets. So there's lots of other things to get to. And, of course, you can be a part of the show. 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the Houston Rockets. We were talking about them, and I'm telling you, this week, it's a homestand, so there's plenty of opportunities. If you got relatives in town, you don't want them sitting around the house with you, and messing up your stuff, eating all your food, get them to Toyota Center, because I'm telling you, it is the time to do it, and the opportunities are endless. It's just a fantastic plethora of great basketball and all the different things they got going on. They got those new uniforms. They're kind of NASA-inspired, but they're really cool. We talked about them on the show. The red, white, and blue uniforms are sharp. Everybody likes them, and you can too. They're going to be available at the Rocket Shop, and you can get yours. And if you do your kind of planning right, you can get Eric Gordon to sign his version of it when you get to the shop. But they've got holiday packs going on right now, and the opportunities are endless for you to not only get tickets to see some great games, not just average games. We were talking about this. You can see some great games. You can see the Clippers, the Celtics, the Mavs, and much more. Harden, Westbrook, and the rest of the Rockets hosting some big time teams. And with every four pack you get, a gift card to the Rockets team shop. So you get your gear, you get your new third jersey, your city jersey that doesn't have the Asian lettering now. It has the NASA-inspired theme. And you get a gift card, you get the gear, you get the great teams, you get out of the house, and you have a great time. It's a fantastic opportunity. And like I said, with those new NASA-inspired jerseys, November 27th, Rockets Team Shop or at Rockets.com, when you get that jersey, bring it down to the Toyota Center. Eric Gordon's going to sign it from 11 to noon. Rockets tickets, jerseys, new gear, it's all part of the perfect holiday celebration for you and your family. And what a great gift to give coming up for the holidays in December. Head to Rockets.com. Purchase your four packs, get your gift cards, and get ready to enjoy Rockets basketball from now through the new year.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, taking care of a little housekeeping as we wrap up hour number two of the three-hour show. Holly does not have a thigh tattoo, so that's one bit of housekeeping.
She tweeted it out. By the way, I don't have a thigh tattoo, ESPN listeners. Well, way to ruin all the fun, Holly.
But let's not sell her short in the fact that she has a ton of tattoos.
She does have a plethora of tattoos.
Indeed.
Intricate tattoos.
Some people
believe
their body is a canvas. Well, I don't know if Picasso could find enough room to paint a portrait based on the fact that she's...
I think you should start getting tattoos of your dogs.
Nope.
On your
back. No, I can't. Because
like
based on the picture on Twitter today, you know, my dogs are all dead and you just told me about
like,
it.
Like the Brady Bunch style, like where you just, like every time you buy a dog, you just get a, or get a dog.
Yeah, we don't
you don't buy them. But then
Thank
you just
God.
Put them like, you know, just across the back. And then you eventually you'll fill up your whole back with dog faces.
Like that dude in Philly that put the Philly Fanatic and all these different mascots all over his body.
See, I saw a picture. I don't know if it was, I can't say it was, but somebody had a baby, their baby's face tattooed on their face.
These face tattoos are just
like the whole
whack.
Side of the cheek.
It's ridiculous.
Like literally, like to the where the eye and the face and all the whole half of their face.
I saw a radio guy.
Their baby's face
all over his bald head and a side of his face.
I thought
too.
You were say bald.
Did you
I was
see
like,
the guy?
What?
I did too.
First of all, how'd you see that? Second of all, yes. That would hurt.
He played for the Rockets, so it was after practice. Hey, did you see on the football game last night? Some dude that popped into my head the minute I saw it. Some dude shaved his head and put the Niners logo like a helmet right on the side of his head. I was like, God, I hope he's got a job, and I hope he's really secure in it.
Are you sure?
Can you imagine
though,
going to an
paint?
Interview? Oh, no, 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 no. You could see it. The hair was coming through the tattoo.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, I can't be like a forensic skin expert.
I feel like you may have just fell for something. I mean, you are old. Old people get confused easily.
Okay. More housekeeping. Insiders around Dana Hogerson and the U of H recruiting class is not, they said, forget the U of H class rankings. Dana's using most of his scholarships on transfers, which he started doing last year when he got some big linemen that he needed with more size on both sides of the ball. But they're saying that his scout team is sitting out, and that is better. That's better in his defense for now while he tries to get those bigger recruiting classes. Look, I believe in Dana Hogerson because I saw what he did at West Virginia, and that's not an easy place to recruit. And that was a program that needed some resurrection. So I believe Dana is the right guy in the right situation that's going to right the ship for the Cougs. If you're a Texas fan or an A&M fan, how many times have you heard that? How many times have you led to believe that? And how, what have you seen to back that up?
I don't know if it's going to matter. Don't take this the wrong way, Dana Holgerson fans or U of H fans or anyone else, but it's U of H. I'm sorry.
Is it still
I'm
that?
Sorry.
Are you still dealing with that stigmatism? Are you still dealing with that? That it's not a Power Five conference and it's
yes. not. It's okay. not a destination city. It's not a destination program.
Guess what?
Players.
Guess who was the one team that could stop Lamar Jackson? UH. Yeah. Suck it.
Okay, Nick. You know what my follow up to that is?
Guess the one team that could stop U of H mm-hmm. themselves.
Damn it. Why'd you got to bring that up?
Got
bro?
A better follow up for you than that, Barry. Guess who the defensive coordinator was that had devised that amazing scheme to stop him? The same guy that Mr. Orlando that's on the staff with Tom Herman at UT that's not going to have a job at the end of the year as the scapegoat because they can't stop anybody. They just stop recruits from coming because they can't stop anybody defensively, and that's why he's going to lose his job. I think he was making over $1 million a year as a defensive coordinator. U of H was trying to hang on to him. Bye. He'd come back. Nope. Not going to be on Dana's staff.
Yeah.
So the state of college football in flux in Texas now. Because here's the other thing is a Florida State team that was on top of the world forever, and they, more so than maybe even Texas, Florida State could say every position on the field, we recruit, we get the five stars, they perform, they go on to the NFL, and we got a great thing going.
Yeah.
And it just fell apart. Now, Jimbo kept this glue for a while, but what that also tells you is there's hope for A&M fans because if Jimbo was a guy that took over for Bowden and was able to keep it going at that level or close to it, competing for a national title, he should be able to get that kind of
should
results in A&M.
Should.
Well, if his recruiting energy is any fast or is any hyped up as the way he talks, then maybe he can.
Guys, I appreciate you having me on the show right now. The difference between Dana and Jimbo on Granato's show is just night and day. Because Dana, as good of friends as Dana and Granato are, he's so to the vest, so serious. And obviously, he's had a down year. But he sounds like he hadn't had that first cup of coffee yet. And he's like, well, you know, John, I'm just worried about coaching the kids we got. And I can't do Dana. But it's really deep and gravelly, and it seems like he's just getting up. But when you get Jimbo, even when Lance and John get him at like 7:45, guys, we're just trying to coach this football team best we can do. And then we're going to go out there, we're going to recruit, we're going to get some more players that we think we can play. And I think that, you know, in a couple of years, you guys are going to be really impressed with the fact that we're going to put a football team out there that A&M fans are going to be real proud of. But in the meantime, we got a good LSU team that's going to come in there and kick our ass every which way but sideways.
Yeah, he talks fast. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's an auctioneer.
You should give him a speeding ticket.
As opposed to Ed Ogeron.
Oh, I love.
Yeah, that's the complete opposite.
I could listen to him talk all day.
Every single interview. Go Tigers. But the one thing I like was with a straight face after they beat Arkansas and they were talking about things, and he just basically realistically set the table and goes, I mean, guys, when's the last time an Arkansas team beat anybody? So we can't get excited about that. He never cracked a smile. He never even reacted. And they were
so
like,
good.
Ooh, that was a really big shot that he didn't even react to.
That was so
solid
good.
Delivery right there.
Well, I mean, he's already on record with the Roll Tide bleep.
Yeah.
What'd he say? He cursed out. Yeah, F him. Bleep the Tide or something.
But you know what? And we never talked about that, and I know other shows did. But good for him. If you want to motivate your team and you're in the locker room, that should be sacred ground.
Well, that's
no one should have ever heard any of that crap other than his players.
Well, that's on his players.
Right, and that's the Antonio Brown thing, where you don't film your coach talking to the team. I know if the coach is well aware of the fact that the network is in there after that's their big thing now on the NFL network and stuff to get the speech at the end of the game. But at least the coach is informed. His PR people are going, now look, don't cuss because they're in here. But if you got some player on the sly that's filming it and he delivers a really motivationally striking conversation like that with a few expletives, good for him. That shouldn't be out there.
I'm with you. I totally agree. Have some fun in the locker room. You earned that victory. You yeah. should be able to talk a little mess.
But I forget who it was, but I want to say it wasn't Tulane, but it was – I saw the video this morning. But you remember the Club Astros when they won games and they had
the
lights and the disco ball and all the music and stuff like that? One college coach that he got – I want to say it was like somewhere in the Carolinas or something like that. But the first time in the history of the football program at the school, they're eligible for a bowl – he looked like he had set up a bar in the middle of, and they had the lights dim, smoke machines lights. He took off his shirt and was like a Chippendale up on the bar, swinging. But you know what? You're probably not going to live that down, and you better hope that you continue to impress and improve. But I was like, that's the kind of emotion you want to see in your locker room when you do something that's never been done before.
If we win another book, Nick, are you going to do that? Will you take your shirt off and stand on the desk and whip it around?
Anything for the exposure and the ratings. I'm down for the team.
You do that?
I'm always down for the team. There's going to be exposure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think we could boost our ratings if you did a whole show shirtless.
No. You really want somebody on this fourth floor to do a show shirtless.
I do. So not anything for the team is what you're saying. Would you dress up like a cheerleader?
Dude, you'd have to give me a lot of money. Like in the seven figures, too. Out.
So, we've got 2 hours in the
book.
Seven
figures just to dress up like a cheerleader or take your shirt off?
Who's going to ever let me live that down for a lousy, what, $100,000? Not doing it.
A lousy? Figures?
Lousy.
$100,000?
I've got standards.
I'd have to work 4 years to make that.
Seven figures is what you need?
I'm demanding seven figures. So if you want me dressed up like a cheerleader on ESPN 97.5, give me seven figures and you got to do it.
You're delusional. Did that in college for no reason.
Yeah, you're delusional. I heard what you did there. 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. We'll set it up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.